All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 10 in this ancient history program of History at Our House for the elementary class. Today's topic is called Connecting to the Archaic Past. We'll talk about that word and a little bit of an important idea that's involved there. But we kind of had two parts to the class. We have part one is going to be a little bit of a checkup on how the writing assignment is going and your understanding there. And I'm going to give you a little report about how things are going in our house. And then part two will be starting this topic of connecting to the archaic past, because we are very close to being ready to starting to just learn the story, starting 3000 BC. But as we do that, we're going to have to kind of do it the right way. And we're going to have to understand the connections that we have to things beyond Greece and Rome, basically. Okay, and that's called the archaic past. So we'll talk about that shortly. But beforehand, I just wanted to confirm that I have I'm kind of making sure that I have everybody's email addresses. And if you're in the live class, then I will email your parents a reminder of your writing assignment, which hopefully I'll start receiving some submissions today. And we're going to continue working on a little bit of the thinking that goes into the writing here today as a group, to make sure that everybody understands how to explain the connection between the ancient past and the modern world that we live in. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about how Patrick is doing in his preparations, because we're working on that together. And so I'll tell you a little bit about how we're doing and why I think there might be some little sticking points or tough stuff that you might not be completely comfortable with. And so we're going to make sure that we get a little bit more command of that before we go too fast into other material. Okay? So I think the part that everybody gets pretty readily when it comes to our connection to the ancient past is that, as I said in that kind of first sentence from our paragraph writing assignment, the United States of America is a republic that people call a democracy. And where do we get those ideas? That is the part that I think you guys are mostly ready for. And Patrick is kind of ready for this. So I'm going to have him answer this question for everybody here. Where do we get these ideas of republic and democracy?
Athens and Rome.
Okay, to elaborate a little bit, please. What do we get from Athens?
The Athens created democracy circa 508 BC.
Okay.
And the Romans created republic as well circa 509 BC.
Okay. See, so this is kind of a basic question that's pretty easy to answer in a way. Just want to correct you on one small point, Patrick. The Athenians created democracy. That's the name of the people who lived in Athens, the Athenians, right? And then the Romans created republic. So we have these ideas way over here now, okay? Why? Because somebody invented them. They did not exist ever in human life before this point. Somebody made them for the first time, and we here know about that, and we live in a world that came to be because they did that. Okay, the United States of America literally would not exist if these things hadn't happened. That's a powerful connection. Okay, and Patrick is kind of seems to get that. And so as far as our paragraph is going over here in this household, you know, we're doing okay with that particular connection. And it's kind of a leap. You know, we just leap right back here. Okay. We start here and then we go right back to this. But as you know, the paragraph is about getting back. The paragraph assignment is about navigating from this spot back to where we are by explaining how we get here. Okay? So that's the key to the paragraph. And this is where Patrick and I right now are a little bit stuck, and where I suspect other people are also a little bit stuck. So basically what we're going to do is we have to go from here and we have to get back to here. Okay. And so what we're going to need is we're going to have to go here. Then we're going to have to go here. And I'm drawing some stages here because that's the most important thing. Okay. And then we're going to have to go here, which takes us to here. Okay. So does anybody think they can tell us what these stages are of how these super important ideas got to us? This is the crucial thing. Okay. We don't live back here. We live up here. And yet the ideas of republic and democracy got to us. That's the paragraph. And you have an outline. And what I've noticed is that even with the outline is still, my sense is, mostly Mr. Powell, not so much everybody else. And that's the trick, is that, and I know that. It's kind of like there's a special challenge when we're teaching to you know, help people and put the trail in front of them and give them the clues and then see what they can do with it. But I'm sensing that the clues that you have so far are still not quite getting you down the path. So that's what I wanted to ask is, what comes after these ideas existed? How did they get to us? Who thinks they can tell us this story here now that they've had a chance to think about it? So Wyatt might like to try. Go ahead, sir.
Hear me?
Yes.
Columbus had to sail over to America.
Yeah, certainly. But look at this. You told me about this arrow over here. But that's not how the ideas get to us. Because, well, how come those ideas are there in the first place? I need you to tell me this part of the story. After the idea, yeah, but even then, what do you mean Renaissance? Okay, the ideas are born over here, and then
Athens and Rome created the ideas, but they were lost when the fall of Rome happened, and didn't come up for about 1,000 years until the Renaissance.
Okay, all right. Thank you, White. You got us going here. This is the crucial thing. Okay, Athens and Rome gave birth, you could say, to these ideas. Okay, they created them. And then they were destroyed. Okay, that's one crucial thing that we have to understand. In order to get to us, the ideas had to be created. That's obvious. Everybody gets that Athens and Rome had to create the ideas. But what is a little bit harder to understand is that the ideas actually almost died, completely destroyed, and then they had to be brought back to life. That's the middle of our story here. Something happened, the ideas disappeared, because boy, if human beings had been able to keep these great ideas going all of this time, we would live in a very different place and probably be much more positive than it is now. But as Wyatt said, we had to go through 1,000 years of a really bad mess before things got back to kind of being better. And so that's the crucial thing, is the next part of the story, after you can say Athens created democracy and Rome created republic, the next part of the story is this. The ideas died and were... What does Renaissance mean? Rosetta?
Reborn.
Okay. All right. So that's the crucial part. Okay. The ideas died and were reborn. Patrick, at what point did the ideas die? You have a fact that represents the death of Greek and Roman ideas.
Fall of Rome.
Fall of Rome. Okay, this is what I needed to hear, that you can make the connection between the fall of Rome, because look what that looks like. Where do I have? Oh, wait a minute. I got to go find it. Sometimes I can't navigate as well as I wish. Darn, I think I lost sight of it here. There it is. Okay. This is what happened to the Greek and Roman ideas. The Greek and Roman ideas here are kind of like this beautiful statue. And what's going to happen to those ideas? As we, you know, we use this picture to represent this terrible time. Rosetta, what's going to happen to them?
They're going to be destroyed.
Yeah, right. I mean, physically, the beauty of the art of the Greeks and Romans was destroyed. Here they are. These barbarians are going to do that. And that's why this painting is so dramatic. They're going to take this amazing work of art and they're going to destroy it. And they're going to do that too because they can't read or write. They're all illiterate, horrible barbarians, and they're going to ruin all this wonderful accomplishment. And we're going to end up in a time where they're in charge, which is really, really sad. That's what this is, right? The Dark Ages. Okay, so the ideas died, and then they were reborn. All right, that's the second part of your story. We live in a time where people talk about the ideas of Republican democracy. Where were they born? Yes, I know I'm repeating myself, but I want this to be jumping out of you like it's completely automatic. Jeremy, where were they born, those ideas? No, I'm putting you on the spot. Where were Republican and democracy born? Everybody has to be able to say. Julia.
Athens and Rome.
Athens and Rome, okay. And then what happened to them, Julia?
The fall of Rome.
Okay, but that's the event, but what happened to the ideas?
They died.
They died off. And then we had what was called the Dark Ages, and then what happened to them?
They got reborn.
Okay, excellent. They were reborn. All right, so far, so good. And now Wyatt's going to tell us, well, they were reborn, okay, way over here, and then I think Wyatt can complete the story for us. Go ahead, Wyatt.
They were reborn in the Renaissance by scholars and people who knew enough about the world to study them.
Okay.
Very few people.
Okay. Okay. One of those people was Christopher Columbus. He loved ancient geography. What else?
And Christopher Columbus is kind of went around to several different countries. He's trying to get a fleet to trying to get sponsored by some, well, a king or a queen.
Okay, he actually did succeed, right? Because what did he do?
And eventually, I think it was Queen Elizabeth who said, "Okay, here, I'll get you 3 ships." No one of them, don't remember their names.
That's okay. You don't need to. I just want you to tell me the essential thing that he accomplished.
And he sailed over, and he discovered America.
Okay, that's it. That's the one, right? Yeah. The queen's name was Isabella, which is like Elizabeth. Queen's name was Isabella. All right, so he brought those ideas over here, and then people came to live here. They remembered this story, and eventually, a group of people who really remember that story well decided, hey, we want to have this kind of wonderful idea again. They were known as the Founding Fathers, and they made America. Okay, so see, this is the trail here. This is how we are connected to the ancient past. There are other connections as well, okay? But this is the strongest one. Okay, this is the strongest one. So, all right, so that I think was a useful review because I sensed it still had to kind of be drawn out of you there, and I'm glad we did that because I think that will help you to write. So I feel like Patrick's ready to start talking about how the ideas died. There was a Dark Ages, and then the ideas were reborn. So he's going to get to here, and then maybe I'll be able to get him to tell me the rest of this, too, the way that Wyatt did. and his story will be complete. And hopefully the story will be complete for you as well. Okay? So excellent. So that means we are connected to the ancient past. If we can make this, if we can tell this story, each one of us is connected, okay, through that story, which is very good. But notice that we're only connected to part of the ancient past. Okay, we're only connected to part of it, right? This blue line is us in America, and then the green is Europe, back to the ancient Greece and Romans. Greeks and Romans, that's the gray part. Okay, but I told you that ancient history goes all the way back here. Are we connected to that yet? Yeah, that's a simple one, right? That's one of those yes, no's. Yeah, isn't it? We haven't got a connection to this yet, do we? I mean, we know that it happened. Okay, but what about it? It's kind of a separate story. Do we need to learn this story? Should we bother? Does that have anything to do with us? Now that's another one. That's another question, because we've done this job. We've done this work to figure this out. But back here, we have something else and we don't know what the connection is, because so today I'm going to explain that a little bit better. Okay? Because the events before Greece and Rome, I'm going to go ahead and annotate. Okay, so I'm going to draw, let's see, what kind of color should I use? Magenta is always so dramatic, so I'm going to go with magenta. Okay, so if we put a line here, okay, and kind of draw this part here, okay, and then we put a line all the way back to here. It should be straight, but anyway, you know, you get the idea. Okay, this part, all of this is ancient. Okay, that all of it is ancient. That's like, you know, everybody get that? It's kind of messy, but I think you guys get it, right? Okay, but there's two parts to it. Okay, this part we call, I don't know if I'm going to fit it on here now. I'm going to have to type it here. Okay, this part we call, does everybody see that word? Patrick? What is it?
Classical.
Classical. Okay? This part we call classical. And then this part over here, before Greece and Rome, this part is another part, and it's archaic. Has anybody ever heard that word before? Archaic? Yeah, archaic almost means the same thing as ancient. I mean, sometimes you could find them as synonyms. Okay, that archaic is, if you look up archaic in the dictionary, you'll say, okay, the synonym for that is ancient. All right, but obviously there's different kinds of ancient. So here's kind of the basic difference between the two different kinds of ancient. This part over here, let's see if I can use another color. This part of the ancient, the classical part, is still alive. We know that. We know that because what kind of idea was, you know, the United States was created on? Whose idea was it? Thank you, Rosetta. Go ahead.
And the Romans.
The Romans' idea. So their ideas are still alive over here. So we call that classical. We call that their ideas are the classic ideas. The classics is the study of these parts of things that are still alive today that we still value, and we keep it going because we can see that there's still a value in that. So that's called classic. And, you know, you might have heard of people, I don't know if this is a good connection for you guys or not, but, you know, some people like to listen to classical music, right? And what is that? That's music that was made a long time ago, but it's so good that people still want to listen to it. That's classical music. Okay. I mean, I love to listen to classical music. So that's another example of the idea of classical. This is the classical part of ancient history because we still want this stuff. We still, all the way down here in 2015, 16, we still accept that some of these things are true and good and worth doing and worth copying and keeping alive and doing them again. That's classical. On the other hand, there's another part of the past that's ancient, but as it turns out, it's gone. We don't pay really any attention to it anymore. We don't. We've decided that the way that people did their, lived their lives back then, we're not going to copy. The way that the people before the Greeks and Romans thought, we're not going to do the same thing. I mean, we know what they did, but we're not really interested in doing that anymore. So it's a different kind of ancient. It's a kind of ancient that we're not following anymore. We don't think that it's classic. It's not a classic because we don't want to keep it alive anymore. Which doesn't mean that it's not fascinating. Okay? But to give you an example here, let me see where my other. Yeah, so here's a good example, right? Anybody know who this is? You wouldn't necessarily be able to know just by looking at the picture, but Rosetta suspects that she might know. Julia, who is it?
Yes.
Horus, right? Who is what?
The sun god.
The sun god, okay? All right, so did anybody wake up today and say a prayer to Horus the sun god? I mean, Patrick checked the Weather Channel and he checked to see if, what the percentage chance of rain is, right? Because we study meteorology now, but he didn't wake up and pray to Horus the sun god, right? To make sure that the crops would be okay wherever, right? So no, I mean, we don't, and we don't have these ideas like the ancient Egyptians, all right, and their different beliefs, and so this is all gone, right? This idea that there's this great serpent that has swallowed the sun. And then, we have this god that looks like a falcon, and he's somehow we have to ask him in order to make sure that the sun comes up and stuff like that. All right, so no, that's all gone. So this is an archaic culture, and it's extinct, which means it's gone. It doesn't have any life left in it. Nobody is believing in this sort of stuff anymore. Nobody is thinking like an Egyptian anymore, like an ancient Egyptian. So that's the difference. And that's why it's going to be interesting for us to look at, well, why do we study the archaic past? Because it's not alive anymore. It doesn't have an influence on us anymore. But there's something about it that's still interesting. There's something about it that's still fascinating. Because if you went to ancient Egypt and you sailed up the Nile on your raft, look what you would find. You'd be on your little sailing vessel, here are these little people, and imagine this mysterious thing that you would discover almost completely covered by the desert. And you would walk up to this, and look, walk up to this, and you'd have this cavernous entrance. And what would you want to do? Hey, we're all human beings. What would we want to do? Rosetta?
I would want to explore it.
Yeah, we want to go inside, get a flashlight, and go see what's in there. Opal, you share our thoughts or our desire to explore?
Interested or scared?
Yeah, okay, right. But we certainly would be fascinated by, we'd want to know more about the people who made this. right? And we know that they're our fellow human beings, and they lived a long time ago, and what were they doing, and who were they, and how did they do it? Especially, we'd want to know about these. Right? We would go to Egypt, and we would see these amazing objects, which is what everybody has done throughout history, and they've traveled to Egypt, and they've said, look at those. Who made those? Right? We get the size of regular people down here. I'll show you a lot of different pictures of the pyramids in Egypt. They're quite fantastic. They're huge. For thousands of years, they were the largest structures that human beings had ever made. And people wondered, well, how did they do that? And why did they do that? And where did they go? These people who made these things, where are they? Because as it turns out, you know, Egypt is a very different place now than it once was. And the people who made these, really, they're gone. They don't exist anymore. But we feel some kind of connection to them anyways. We do feel a connection to them. And part of the connection comes because of Greece and Rome. The connection comes from Greece and Rome. And I wonder if anybody recognizes this lady. I would need to take away the title of the image, otherwise you're going to cheat and you're going to be able to read it. So what can I do? You guys can read it anyway. Who is it?
Is it Hatshepsut?
Oh, nice guess. No, it's not, because you didn't read the title. Julia, who is it?
Cleopatra.
Mm-hmm, right. And what do we know about Cleopatra? Does anybody know who Cleopatra was? Here's kind of a modern actress playing Cleopatra. Absolutely spectacular movie that was made about Cleopatra a while back. And So this is maybe not that much different from what Cleopatra actually looked like, because it's kind of something interesting. Cleopatra was the ruler of Egypt, but does anybody know where she was from? What kind of, was she Egyptian is my question. She was the ruler of Egypt, but as it turns out, she was not Egyptian. She was Greek. Did anybody know that? How could it be that the ruler of Egypt was Greek? And does anybody know who Cleopatra fell in love with? And why Cleopatra was the last ruler of Egypt? Jeremy?
She married Julius Caesar.
Aha. And who was he?
The ruler of the Roman Empire.
Yes. I don't know why you're tuning out there, but you got it. Basically, the ruler of the Roman Empire. And Egypt was then conquered by the Roman Empire. So we actually do have an interesting connection to ancient Egypt. Ancient Egypt was conquered by Greece, and then it was conquered by Rome. And what are those classical people that we already know about and feel connected to? The Greeks and the Romans. Oh, so there is some kind of connection. Sorry, wrong one. There is a kind of connection between us. So what we're going to have to figure out is how we're going to draw some kind of line. Like this. And what that line is going to be. Because we are connected to ancient Egypt in some ways. The Greeks conquered it. The Romans conquered it. There's a bunch of lines here that we can draw. But we have to figure out what the right line is. So we're going to talk about that. As it turns out, we have to wait till Monday to draw that proper line, because tomorrow is our writing class, right, where we're going to really do a perfect job of understanding this original connection. And then our final task, probably before the first test, is going to be to see what we can tell about the connection between these lines and this line, so that we can understand how we're connected to the archaic past. And once we know that, well, then we'll be ready to study it, because we'll understand how it makes sense for us to study it here and now. All right, so we're going to figure this out. Okay, we've got people like Cleopatra that you might have heard of. She was a Greek ruler of Egypt. We've got the Romans like Julius Caesar and everybody after him who was in charge of Egypt also. And yet, those are not the connection. And yet, as it turns out, those are not the connection. We do not study ancient Egypt because of those lines, so we're not going to draw them. So we're going to have to figure out what the connection is. All right, well, I hope you're intrigued. And now I'm going to send a confirmation email of the homework in case some of you have not had a chance to get started on it yet. So good luck with that. If you can get it to me before tomorrow's class, we'll have a chance to discuss it in class. Let me just briefly clarify what we're going to do about that, okay? What we do, if we do any writing work in class, and if somebody's writing is being discussed, we discuss it anonymously. Okay, so that means I'm going to put up a paragraph on the class, you know, right on the screen, and we're going to read it together, but I'm not going to say whose paragraph it is. Because sometimes people get embarrassed if they did something wrong or they made a mistake. And that's not the point of working together in class. The point of working together in class is to get all of our brains, every student working together to make it, to help us improve our understanding. So if your paragraph is going to be used in class, it's actually going to be used because it's good and because I think that we can help you make it even better. But just so that you can avoid feeling embarrassed if anything said, you know, that you feel like, oh, I did a bad job about something, or people know that I didn't do a good job. Don't worry, because it's going to be completely anonymous. Nobody's going to know that it was your paragraph. Okay? Not that I'm worried about that. I'm pretty sure everybody's going to do just fine, and then we're going to help each other do even better. Okay, final questions, concerns about the writing class for tomorrow? Opal, go ahead.
Is that about the writing class for tomorrow? I'm just wondering if we're doing the same painting on Thursday.
Yes, we are. We always take two classes to complete a painting. Okay? We always take two classes to complete a painting, unless it's a really simple one. Very, very rarely do we only take one class.
Was it only doing one for the first time?
I didn't quite catch that. Try again.
On the one with the guy sitting in a chair and the guy in blue, did I come in the second half or was that just one?
It must be. You must have missed week one because we did two classes on that, yes. So go back and check the recordings, because all of the classes are recorded and available to you. So you can go back and catch that if you need to. Okay? All right. Thanks, everybody. Good luck with your writing. Get it to me as soon as you can so that we can all talk about it tomorrow and become experts in navigating between the past and the present. Bye for now. Thank you.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
Bye.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
Bye.